A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let me sing now of my friend's song concerning his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it, he built a watchtower, and he hewed out a wine press. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but what it yielded was wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? Why, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, break through its wall, and let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his cherished plant. He looked for judgment, but see, bloodshed, for justice, but hark, the outcry. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, Think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, they threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Now what will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Today there's so much to speak on, but I am going to focus, if you will, on the second reading as we continue in the book of Philippians. And here, God is telling us through the Apostle Paul how to pray. Huh? This is the point of this. He's teaching us how to pray. Now again, a lot of us sit there and say, "Oh, Father, shut up. I know how to pray." Well, the Word of God says you don't. The Word of God says that you and I do not know how to pray. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit and the prayer, and Spirit prays within us. And so now we get a closer thing about, well, how does the Spirit pray? How does he want me to pray? Well, first of all, let's go to the last line of the Gospel. The Gospel talks about God comes and everything belongs to him, and the people who are doing their work are supposed to give him the fruit, because it belongs to him. Well, of course, that's a parable for us. That God has given us gifts, but all the gifts God gave us isn't for us. It's to bear fruit for his kingdom. So again, fruit by definition does not feed the person. Fruit is feeding other people. That's what fruit does. So when it comes to our prayer, we got to be first of all thinking, am I a person in prayer who bears fruit for others? Is my prayer about others? Am I praying for the good of others? Or am I just praying for my own needs and my own wants and my own desires? Or am I a person who intercedes the way Jesus at this very moment, as we've talked about many times, what is Jesus Christ doing at this very moment? Interceding for us. So if Jesus, who is God, is interceding for us before his Father at this very moment, then what must we be doing? Interceding for others. Not for ourselves, for others. So we got to first of all examine, is my prayer life other-centered? Or is it me-centered? My desires, my needs, right? And so part of it's that, but second of all, is part of it must be that we have a daily prayer time. We have prayer time in our daily life. And I've talked about this a billion times, right? You know, praying is more important than breathing. It's just that simple. And so we got to make sure that, you know, God takes us as we are, but he asks us to follow him and be his disciples. Not just go to church on Sunday, right? In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you never sit there and says, oh, did you go to church on Sunday? A disciple is one who's always a disciple, not just one who goes to church on Sunday. And so we got to make sure that we have this daily committed relationship with Jesus Christ so that we're asking him every day, Jesus, why am I alive today? What do you want me to do? Why did you keep me on this earth? So it's to produce fruit, but we find out from him what that fruit's to be and what it's to be about. Now we talk about what our prayer should look like. And here, Paul says, have no anxiety at all. Thanks, Paul, right? In the middle of a pandemic, have no anxiety at all. Well, thank you. But how can you have no anxiety at all? Is it even possible, or is scripture in Paul a liar? Have no anxiety at all. And then he tells us how. But in everything that we do, everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So all of our prayer must include thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus gives us an example of this, right? The biggest miracle he performed, you could argue back and forth really, one of the biggest miracles, we'll say that, was the raising of Lazarus from the dead, correct? And so we see how Jesus got this done in his prayer because the Word of God tells us what his prayer was about. So we go, and this is in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 41. And so there's Lazarus, he's been dead for 4 days, you know, everybody's afraid he's gonna stink. Jesus says, put away the stone, and then he prays out loud. Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. So Jesus, who intercedes for us, begins his prayer to raise Lazarus from the dead by thanking his Father just for listening to him and making an act of faith that you always hear me. And so no matter what our prayer is, if we go and add that part every single time, Lord, I thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. To always have thanksgiving, because what thanksgiving does is it changes it from a me, 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 thing about what I need from Almighty God, unto, I thank you that you hear me and you always hear me. So what am I doing? I'm focusing on him, and I'm thanking him because he loves me. I'm thanking him because he's going to take care of it. I'm thanking him because anything he told me to ask for, I'm supposed to ask in thanksgiving. Now, again, we've talked about it before, too, but Mother Teresa. Remember Mother Teresa's mini novena? And the mini novena was 10 memorares. A novena is only 9 prayers. Why was the 10th one there? thanksgiving. Immediately, she would not just pray to God and say, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme," nine times, but immediately thanked God for hearing her. Sometimes I think the reason our prayers aren't fruitful is because they're only about us. They're not filled with thanksgiving, and they're not filled with interceding. And so if we start making sure that we intercede the way Jesus did, we pray, did, and does, the way we always have thanksgiving in that, then our anxiety will be less because every time we pray, we're making an act of faith. You hear me. I thank you for that. You always hear me. And what that implies, of course, is that he's going to answer me, correct? So I'm always making an act of faith. So today, very simply, let's just, if we don't already do it, and many of you might, but let's just suggest from today for the rest of our life, Father, that's a long time, maybe, that you and I never pray ever without thanking God as part of our every time prayer. You think you can do that? I think we can. It's going to take practice because we're not used to doing it, but I think we can. So let's ask the grace of the Holy Spirit to convict us always that every time I pray, I always include thanksgiving. Got it? Get it? Are you going to do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let us stand and let us together say our creed. I believe in one God, the Father,